Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Oh,
Conversation this week, and it seemed that everybody is talking about it. Everybody is pretty confident about the disparity of treatment, bigotry, prejudice, racism. That's not even a question. I mean, this is what the NFL's been doing. But I think the biggest piece that's probably going to emerge out of this lawsuit is the fact that Brian Flores accused a owner of deliberately trying to get him to tank games, which could wind the NFL in front of a Senate subcommittee asking them, are you participating in possible RICO law violations?
Yeah.
And that's the big, big money factor. And I think that's what the NFL already knows. It's a bigot, it's prejudice, and it's racist. They already know they do that. And they're just giving you lip service to say that, you know, the lawsuit had no merit, please. Come on. But the biggest part I think those guys are worried about is the gambling and the association with an owner tanking games. That affects the integrity of the game and could cost them a lot of money because they just did a deal with all these gambling sites.
Yep. FanDuel and DraftKings. In two years, the Super Bowl is going to be in Las Vegas. They got a problem.
Big problem. I think they already are in spin master control with everything else, with the Rooney Rule violations. They're eating cheese, and Roger Goodell's out saying, we got to do better. We're better than this. We are against racism in this place. Come on. We all know what y'all about. But the biggest thing that they're worried about is the money.
Hugh Jackson stated that Greenlord has in the 10K that he backtracked. What's the Hugh Jackson story?
Well, a lot of these guys are scared. Hugh Jackson. I mean, they all should stand with Brian Flores.
What are they going to do? Yeah.
You know, what are they going to do? The players should stand with Brian Flores. But players can't stand with themselves.
Yeah, I would love to see the black players walk away in the first quarter of the game tomorrow and just wait and see what happens. If all the black players walk off the field tomorrow, what would they do?
What could they do? They'd settle right then and there. See, that's where the black athlete has failed.
Yes.
Every time,
yes,
they've had an opportunity. The Radman and myself, we had Craig Hodges on about a year or two ago, and he went to Jordan and Magic Johnson and them. It was right after the Rodney King situation.
Yes.
And he said, now we got the leverage. Let's all walk out. What can they do? And all them jokers supposed to be these top flight athletes. No, man, I ain't leaving this plantation. This plantation's been good to me. That's basically what they're telling you. And if the athletes, all of the NFL players would have stood with Colin Kaepernick, he'd still be playing. Eric Reed would still be playing. But these guys, they can't stand together.
Colin Kaepernick is just really, really, really disappointed. I was really disappointed because, they all kneel, but what else did he do anything else?
Right. I mean, these guys, all the black coaches, see, you know what they're afraid of? Everybody's saying Brian Flores will never get hired again. Why shouldn't he?
Yep.
You're basically telling everybody by making that statement that you must accept bigotry, prejudice, and standing for what's right. You can't do that. If you want a job, you have to be meek and accept your punishment. That's what they're telling you.
Well, that can never be. You know, I really got upset with them when there were two attempts by African Americans to buy the Minnesota Vikings. And when the ownership said, no, you can't buy the Vikings, I said, okay, I know where this is going. So what can we do to change that?
Well, they changed it. That's what happened. It's not what you can do to change it. It's what the owners did. The owners put all these parameters about who can purchase a team and what their qualifications would be to purchase a team. You got to have $690 million of non-encumbered capital.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people have that? Robert Smith? Oprah, maybe? That's it.
Okay, here's a wild card. And with you guys were doing it a couple years ago. You guys started it. All-black league. All-black owners. All-black coaches. All-black. This is an all-black league.
Well, I'm not against that, but if these guys won't stand together in this circumstances, do you think they'll stand together and start an all-black league?
Well,
the only time we've done that in history is when we were forced to. They're forcing you to now, but you're not willing to do it because they're giving you an option.
No, they give you money, too.
That's the biggest problem. The Radman and I, we interviewed a gentleman yesterday, Jefferson, from the Colts, and he said that less than 30% of the players voted for the last CBA agreement.
Dude, they
added an extra game to help debilitate you even more. You went from 17 paychecks to 36 paychecks, and you don't even bother to vote. You know, and he said that because they sent the ballots by email, and that this generation doesn't check email. He's saying that's past generation. A lot of us are just catching up with email. So they use Messenger and WhatsApp and everything else. This is a different generation, but it's no excuse for not utilizing
NFL,
what power you have.
The NFL has a lot of problems. Number one, they have the John Gruden. The John Gruden issue. That's another issue there. They have the Washington Football Club. I refuse to call him the Commanders because he has a stupid name. But anyway, the Commanders issue with sexism and racism in Washington Football Club. I mean, the NFL is in a complete chaos right now. I mean, utter chaos.
Right. They have some problems. And their bigotry and cronyism against black coaches, this is nothing new. This is what they've been doing with the Rooney Rule.
Yeah.
With the Rooney Rule. Imagine what they'd be doing without the Rooney.
I know. It'd be horrible.
Yeah. Everybody's like, get rid of the Rooney Rule. What? Look at what they're doing with the Rooney Rule.
Yeah.
Anything, they need to be expanding the Rooney Rule.
Well, you have.
And the cronyism and the old boy network continues.
Yeah, you have 14 owners, 14, who gave campaign funds to the O.J. Trump.
It's more than that.
That's all you need to know.
Almost all. My God, yeah. Oh, come on, they're all Republicans.
Yeah.
They may not like Donald Trump personally, but I'd say more than 14 owners gave him money. I would say the bulk of them gave him money because the guy is just the league is almost all Republicans.
Yeah.
And he cut taxes. That's what they wanted. You know?
What's going on with your Buffalo Bills and my New York Giants? What's going on with them?
Well, the Giants grabbed Joe Schoen, and he brought in Brian Daboll. And that was the most recent stimulus of the lawsuit with the Brian Flores situation. And Leslie Frazier, who by far should have been a head coach hire, was basically passed over by the Chicago Bears and other teams without even being looked at.
And what's good with Bienemy, and Kennedy? Why did they go to him?
Well, John Wooden told us that the new general manager of the Chicago Bears had promised Andy Reid he was going to interview Eric Bieniemy. He did not. And the biggest problem that happened in Chicago, they hired Bill Polian to run the search. So here you got a crony. He hires this guy, the defense coordinator from the Indianapolis Colts. Those are his guys. And that's why you're seeing this cronyism, which is a precipitation of bigotry, racism, all of that. And it disqualifies, cronyism disqualifies qualified candidates. Huh?
The only way to break this system is to have black executives in these organizations.
No, black owner Gary, it's got to be black ownership. You've got black executives.
Yeah.
I think you've got 7 or 8 of them. How many of them have hired a black coach? I don't know why, but it seems that they take their marching orders from the top. They're not hiring black coaches either. Ozzie Newsome has run the Ravens for years. He's never hired a black coach. Jerry Reese won 2 Super Bowls with Tom Coughlin. I don't think he had the power. Doug Whaley, when he was in Buffalo, they called him a general manager. He couldn't hire and fire nobody.
Yeah.
That's not a general manager. That's a figurehead. And that's the problem
Giants,
in the league.
The Giants are paying for it now because they're the worst team in the National
like Jerry Reese is out of the NFL. He won two Super Bowls.
Yep.
And he's not even in the NFL. And how many, I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals are in the Super Bowl. But for 12 years, most of that time, Marvin Lewis got you in the playoffs. He barely has a job.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, I looked this up. 110 white coaches get rehired, while only 9 African Americans have died in 55 years. 110 white coaches got rehired.
Right.
And only 9 black coaches got rehired. That's just pitiful.
It's scary. This is the system that we're in that's stacked against us from the beginning. And people wonder why our young people are so angry.
Yeah.
We're raising our kids in a system that is just totally frustrating. You lose before you even get a chance to take the field.
Yeah.
And the only place that you are allowed to excel is these accelerated plantations that you call courts or fields or anything else. Every place else, you got to work your butt off. You're not given fairness, even in media. They need to look at the whole thing. I mean, between Radman and myself, we've covered 36 Super Bowls. Yet we barely have any sponsors. What I'm saying. I mean, the whole thing with Colin Kaepernick, the thing with Colin Kaepernick that people need to realize is this players' coalition was created by the owners to destroy the Colin Kaepernick movement. It was not put together to do anything other than that.
Yep.
The owners had a private meeting with who they thought were the leaders of the protest movement other than Colin Kaepernick, and they came up with this to break the Colin Kaepernick movement.
Yep. Sure right. Did.
You got your keys?
Sure did.
Right here.
No, I don't. I got one last
question for you.
Okay.
Who's going to win this game today? Tomorrow.
I'm picking Cincinnati.
Yay! Okay, why
are
you doing that?
I don't know. I mean, LA has all the talent. I mean, I'm not a fan of Matthew Stafford.
Neither am I.
I think Joe Burrow is the better player. And I think they will do enough to win that game. I like the way they come back. I mean, they were down 21-3 against Kansas City. I thought that game was over.
The way Kansas City
played, I think they thought it was over too. It wasn't.
Yeah. What gets me mad about LA, the LA Rams, is the LA Rams tried to buy the Super Bowl. I don't like that.
Right?
You can't buy it. Typical LA trying to buy stuff. Hey, here we go again with this team trying to buy a winner. I just don't like it.
Right. I agree with you. I mean, that's what they're doing, buddy. But I appreciate you having me on today.
I got my guy, OJB, but I'm glad OJB finally gets to the big game. Good for him, but everybody else, I was really scared. Beckham, I hope Beckham does well tomorrow. That's why I only ran three boys at Beckham.
Well, that's the one guy I hope has a great game.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I hope he has a great game. But I'm picking Cincinnati.
So what you got front row? You got front row seats?
No, we're in the auxiliary press box. They didn't have an auxiliary press box last year, so that was the first Super Bowl I missed in 18 years since my daughter was born. So they put the auxiliary press box back in, but not with as many people.
Yeah.
So we, you know, that's where, you know, that's in the stadium itself. So that's where we'll be sitting tomorrow.
How's the COVID issue down there?
They're lifting the mask mandate. So all the numbers are going down, but you know, I'm not lifting the mask mandate. I've been wearing a mask since this thing started, and I'll be wearing a mask when they lift the mask mandate.
Yeah.
And I'm not changing. It stays the same for me. But Gary, I appreciate you having me on. I gotta run. Huh? What's the score?
What's the score?
I'd say maybe 27-24.
Okay.
Cincinnati.
I think it's going to be a track meet. I think it's going to be up in the 30s and 40s.
Well, that'd be entertaining.
I'm
definitely picking the Cincinnati Bengals in the upset.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you for stopping by the Cove. I hope you come by this week. You come by the end of the game this week.
All right, Gary. I appreciate you, buddy.
All right. The buddy Omar, Buffalo, New York.
Take care.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break. Come back here after this break. to the goal today. Right now, right, the U.S. hockey team, men's team, upset the Canadian team at Beijing last night. Brad Marchand gets a 10-game suspension and see when will this crowd stop? When will this malcontent stop messing with other players and other teams? Marchand punched the goalie Girard of Pittsburgh Penguins and then gave him the stick and he got escorted out the gate. Brad Marchand, if he was another color, he'd be out of the gate, seriously. Whatever, let his fire head coach Tibbetan after a bad midseason. The Oilers were expected to win the Western Conference this year. They might not even get the playoffs. Boston Bruins goalie Tuukka Rask will retire at the end of the season. Great, great career in Boston. Tuukka Rask will put up his gates. Marc St. Louis will become the interim head coach for Montreal Canadiens. That should be interesting. The Canadiens are in last place in the East. And this is a desperate move by the Canadiens to hire Martin St. Louis. The great player, a great goal scorer. We'll see how he does with the Montreal Canadiens. Who can't score? The coroner has just ruled Jeremy Jami's death a suicide by shooting. Baseball has not moved since December, and now spring training is seriously in doubt, as spring training was supposed to start in 2 weeks. I don't need to make it. NFL, Eric Dickerson wants better tickets as the Los Angeles Rams gave a third-tier seat ticket for the game tomorrow. And Eric Dickerson is not pleased. Both teams carry a walkthrough today at SoFi Stadium. NCAA, ladies lose Friday night. The Stanford Lady Cardinals defeat the Utah Utes 91-64, and Tara Vanderbilt closely gaining on her 1,000-game victory in Stanford. The Lady Oregon Ducks beat the Beavers 74-66. The Lady Sun Devils beat the Arizona Wildcats, 81-77. Michigan State upsets number 8 Michigan, 63-57. And today, Oklahoma is at Texas. And that's a Friday night lights. Islanders travel to Calgary tonight. Toronto Maple Leafs travel to Vancouver. And the Carolina Hurricane travel to the Minnesota Wild tonight. The Lakers are on the road to San Francisco tonight. ABC Sports will broadcast that game as the Lakers take on the Golden State Warriors. Well, folks, we know it's Super Bowl weekend. And I have a bone to pick with the NFL. The NFL is really messing up. It's messing up royally now. You don't want black owners. You don't want black GMs. You don't want black coaches. And you stubbornly don't want black quarterbacks. Let's not kid ourselves here. It's the whole point that we're right here. And it's evident with the quarterback situation coming up lately. The old guys are leaving and the new guys are coming in. I mean, play what I'm talking about here. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Roethlisberger have all retired. Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers will retire real soon. So what are they going to do? All these guys are leaving. Brady is the American hero. So now, the kids are coming. Zach Wilson, the Jets. Burrow, who's playing the Super Bowl tomorrow. Cincinnati. Allen in Buffalo. Hebert in San Diego. Heineke in Washington. And Jones in the New York Giants. Well, these guys are not bad. They're not bad. I like Hebert. I like Burrows. But they're going to make them into heroes. And y'all know we can't have black heroes. Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, who have been to the Super Bowl twice or more, who have multiple division titles, they don't care. They don't care. Then you have possible stars in Jackson in Baltimore, Dak Prescott in Dallas, Murray in Arizona, and you have three more coming up, Chicago, the Eagles, and the 49ers. Three more. But you can't have black heroes. I hate to bring him up. But 45 underneath a torrent of emotions. A torrent of racist acts. The genie out of the bottle. Now the question is, will black people push back? You know, as we grew up in the 60s, and this would not be tolerated. Black players need to walk off the field. They won't. The money's too much. They won't because they're looking for a job after they retire. They won't. Because they want to keep it status quo. That's what I understand. How can you let status quo like this? We'll go to the news of the week before break. Leading U.S. Gator, Alvin Gomez-Zoe. he wants the rest of Liberty to everybody else did. Feng Shui, the Chinese tennis star, gave a really controlled interview with the interpreter in the room, part of the Chinese government. The press, the European and American press, will leave China next week, and Feng Shui will be forgotten. America will move on to the next issue. Michaela Shiffrin finally gets well this week after two tumbles and falls. And this was 4 years ago. The Americans are not doing well in the Beijing game. That's why you haven't seen on TV. They have three or four gold medals. Meanwhile, the Russians are involved in another steroid issue with their skaters. They don't have gold or silver. On Tuesday, they announced became the new coach of the New Orleans Saints. The circus finally ends on Media Day. Kamara, the guard, played a Pro Bowl after an incident the night before, and the NFL did nothing. This is what I'm talking about here. Kamara should have been betting. He did not have played that game. But because the NFL, the way it is, he played, and the band played on. USA, the new USA star, and Nathaniel Jen, who ran a perfect program a couple of days ago. The Canadian women beat the USA women in hockey in the prelims. These two will probably meet in the gold medal round this week coming up. And Korean-American Chloe Kim qualified and won the gold medal in snowboarding. We knew it was going to win. I fight as the defending champion. Women will beat UConn. Women breaking 145 games, conference games, and UConn is not what they used to be. The Golden State Warriors. And now they lose the game, they're like, okay, who cares? After a 10-game winning streak, the Utah Jazz beat them 111-89. And it didn't matter because there's no more everybody else. And they can lose the game and walk away. We'll take a break, come back.
Because that's the first basketball buzz they've had here in a while. Many Sixer fans were very unhappy with Ben Simmons. And that they would get the beard or take the chance for the beard is like they're throwing all their eggs in one basket, hoping that this one makes a championship cake. Because Simmons, he's got basketball savvy, but there's no way he's going to please Philly with the way he was doing what he was doing. They've got some nice – and then the cool part about the trade, they didn't sacrifice their point guard, Maxey, which I think he'll be a good one. But whatever Simmons has in mind regarding his game, it was on some other planet because it wasn't working in Philly.
Well, I think the Curry, I think, McCurry going to Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn would have like abandoned
anything. Yeah, you know, you might be right on that. But for whatever reason, he just wasn't doing it. I mean, there were times where they were begging for Simmons to shoot, and he wouldn't do it. And I mean, I'm not talking about a gimme 12 to 15 footer, which should be standard in the pros. I mean, a three-point shot. He just wouldn't take them.
But Simmons was a good defender. I like the defense. I just like his offense.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of dimensions to his game, but I don't think Sixer fans really got to see him, in all honesty.
All right. Well, I wish the Sixer fans well. I am not happy with the New York Knicks. Because
nope.
New York didn't do anything at all.
No. I think that's that's more indicting the fact that they thought they had a team, and now they're stuck with it. They got to stick with it now. You know, whatever they had in mind, they weren't going to improve on. So they must have thought they had a real squad to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, in some minds, they must have thought they had enough, but they really didn't.
I'm really curious. See what the salary is under the Knicks. I think they're way under the luxury tax.
Yeah. I think there are a couple of bucks on the luxury tax too, G, but you know what? This was only designed to get publicity because Simmons is considered a known quantity. They know what they think they know what he can do. And to add to what he was going to bring to the table, that meant that you were going to either win a championship or you're going to be in the playoff hunt or something. You know, Philly must be very confident that getting the beard is the last piece in the puzzle, because they spent a lot of money on him.
Michael, the beard scares me, and this is why he scares me. I watched him at OKC.
Yep.
I watched him in Houston. Don't get me wrong here. The big is scoring 50 points, they ain't having to get ready.
Right.
The question is, can the big play defense? The answer,
right.
My answer right now is no, hell no, he can't play defense.
Yeah, you're right.
So the Sixers are willing to give up the defense to get the 40-foot offense. I'm always a defense man. I've said this for years. Defense wins championships.
That's true.
So this trade is kind of leery to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, considering what they spent on Simmons and Embiid, you know, Embiid worked out. You're wondering about his ankle. That's me. That worked out. He's playing his ass off.
Yeah.
He's a possible MVP candidate. So the time that they spent on Embiid was worth it. Simmons, I don't know. And clearly they don't know, which is why they're letting his ass go.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the big monster in the room. This week, there's a lawsuit filed against the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
This lawsuit is 57 pages long. This lawsuit alleged discrimination, racism, and nepotism.
Right.
The NFL, I think the NFL is in real trouble. Here's the reason why I think they're in trouble. You had two coaches who happened to be black.
Right.
Who had stated that they were paid to throw games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is racketeering laws in the books.
Right.
You're in bed with FanDuel and DraftKings.
Yep.
And you had two coaches there saying that you were paid to throw games.
Right.
The integrity of the National Football League is in trouble.
Yep. Right.
Serious trouble, because if any of this goes through, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You, by the way, Man. What do we do here? What we gonna do here?
They worsened their own situation. This is something long time coming. You always make a connection with Kaepernick. And now, Brian Flores has become a pariah. Not because he couldn't coach, but because he didn't coach.
Because he told the truth.
That's right. He told the truth, and they didn't want to hear that. So think about that. Between Flores and Hugh Jackson, you had two coaches who would offer a kickback to draw games. Now, we know that they're not the only two coaches that had that offered to them, that they're black.
But if I bet on the Miami Dolphins,
mm-hmm.
I lose the bet by 3 points. I lose the bet because these guys were told to throw a game. You know what I'm going to go after?
What?
I'm going to go after the NFL.
That's right.
Because you allowed the situation to measure.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about the integrity of the game. Roger Goodell is always talking about the integrity of the game. And you sit there and let this happen. What integrity are you talking about?
But you got to remember, Roger works for the owners. He really has no power. You know, he can help to forward an agenda, but it will likely be at the behest of the owners. They don't care. And because they don't care, anybody who's involved in this knows what the price is. This is like being in the worst kind of job situation where you either train your colleague to take your job, or if you are an athlete working, it may not hit you right away, but at some point in time, it'll hit you that, well, hell, this is no different than the corporate world. I got to deal with nepotism. I got to deal with, you know, untrained people. Operate in a vacuum. They already know. They're paying for X, Y, and Z. X means a big game, a halftime show, and whatever BS is going on in between. That's what they're paying for. That's what has to be presented. And they will do that. But if you mean that the players would be so upset as to cause a wildcat strike or say we ain't coming out, There's no way in hell they're going to get away with that. They can't and they won't do that. They know all they have to do. Just say no one time. Saying no one time will allow for the wheels to be turned and that player will be blacklisted. They can forget it. And it doesn't matter how good the player is.
They're gonna blacklist the whole team.
They will make sure, regardless of where that guy will play, if he plays, he will have a hard way to go. And he may be cut even quicker than a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Tony, what do you think about this?
About tomorrow or just the whole thing in general?
I suggest that all of the African-American players tomorrow, after the coin toss and the national anthem and whatever that goes on, they walk back into the locker room and say, well, wait, do you wait?
I mean, it would be nice, but unfortunately, I don't think, you see, the sad thing is even the players themselves aren't together. We saw during the whole Kaepernick thing where you only had a hand, like, I remember the kid for the Steelers who went out of his way to be the only guy to go out and stand for the national anthem. And you know, we saw how they basically sort of used Malcolm Jenkins to be, you know, for lack of a better word, a double agent for both sides. So there, you know, everything that you have seen since this suit has come out, to be fair, they've been consistent. Their whole thing is crush, kill, destroy. And at some, you know, I hope we all live long enough to see it come back and blow up in their face. But unfortunately, you know, the fans, after boycotting for a while, eventually came back. See, here's the thing that I think we also need to think about here, as, you know, because I've been, you know, mentally going over stuff over the last few weeks or so. Think about, now we know of the stuff that's going on up front. Think about behind the scenes. Because, see, all the more reason, I want to see those emails for the Washington case. Because to me, that speaks, because, this is worse than Nixon holding on to the tapes. And there's no Rosemary Woods to erase 18, to erase 18 minutes of the stuff. The NFL knows what's on there because they know that if that stuff got out, all the everything would come crumbling down. And that's the essence of it. Now, see, what's kind of crazy is there will be some people tomorrow because they have Dr. Dre and Mary and Kendrick Lamar, and they'll think that, oh, that's the NBA, you know, showing you what they – no, they're just showing you their pimp hand. Because remember, even with all the atrocities that happened with their slaves, they took care of the slaves enough so that they would make money for them. They're not gonna completely blow it up, but they're not gonna make it so that, put it this way, it's not going to be this incredible atmosphere. So I think boycotting the upcoming season and going after their sponsors and whatever, I think that's a good thing. But again, you have to be vigilant about it. You have to be vigilant about it. I've been going over in my head, should I bring back should I bring back the field generals for
yep.
the season already? Because as much as it is for us and our fans, it does still sort of placate to the NBA. And that's the tough, and that's the tough, I'm not the NFL, I'm sorry. And that's the tough part mm-hmm. here, because we want to make them, I think all of us fundamentally want to see them punished and hurt for the hurt that they have caused. You know, it's more, you know, because it's a, as I was talking with Mike the other night, it's a mindset to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because see, when the vote came down yesterday for Coach of the Year, the fact that Flores did not get one vote.
Not one.
Not one vote from the media. It just lets you know, that, again, it's a mindset. This is what white supremacy and racism is. It's a mindset. You know?
And Flores should be Coach of the Year. But what he did in Miami...
At the very least, he deserved a vote. The fact Bill Belichick gets a vote for absolutely doing nothing, as far as I'm
mm-hmm.
concerned. Now, I'll argue Vrabel. I understand why they gave it to Vrabel. You know, best record in the AFC, and you did it without the best running back in the league. I can understand that, but I mean even your former coach got three votes.
Yeah,
are you really telling now? And again, I get it when you realize the craziness that was going on and off the field with that team, the fact that they actually got to the playoffs, that's an accomplishment. But to really try to just, you know, to really just try to just basically spit in this man's face and say that the turnaround that he engineered meant nothing, I'm sorry. And see
exactly.
what the sad thing is, I'll make this prediction. The Miami Dolphins are going to win the AFC. The Miami Dolphins are going to win the AFC East in 2022. Write it down right now. The Miami Dolphins are going to win the AFC East, and they're going to lord up this guy that they brought in.
Mm-hmm.
Who is more than ending?
Well,
okay.
You know, yeah. But see, again, that's just, you know, again, it's the game playing. It's the, cause see,
yeah.
There will be people that will say, well, see, they did hire a minority.
Yep.
As Chris would know, G, see, it's not like he was losing games. It's not like people were saying that, don't look now, but here comes Miami. They were 1-7, and now they're 7-7. You know, all this supposed buzz had to be coming from the same NFL that tried to make them win games, or rather lose games, with the payout. It's also said something about black coaches. Well, they're really not that good. We'll hire them. There's nothing else so that we can knock our records down and prep for the draft and get who we really want. And Flores looked at all of that and said, fuck you. This ain't me. You ain't trying to get my own in the playoff. And you almost did. You got to win it with the Dolphins, you're thinking, because I'm not talking about the front office, those assholes, I mean the players.
Yeah.
The players are thinking, we got a shot. Think about how that locker room was at 1-7. And think about what that locker room was at 7-7. See, that's what they're not seeing.
And that leads me to my next question. With Roethlisberger, Reed, Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Matty Ice all retiring, near retiring. Guess what? We got a new group of people coming in. And, that is what, see, if Joe Burrow's with, all right, do the Joe thing, because Joe Namath and Joe, but, all the Joes that won the Super Bowl are doing that already.
And the crazy thing, and the crazy thing about it is, I genuinely like the kid.
Yeah,
him, Herbert. Because they don't come off as, for lack of a better word, smelling their own shit. They actually have shown
what Buffalo does. I don't like Allen, but the other two, they're good.
Yeah. You can have Allen. You can have Allen. They've already basically lorded him up. In Buffalo.
Heineke was the Joe's of the New York Giants.
John Jones is way in over his head. And Heineke, I just think Heineke is just they're gonna try to give him the Kirk Cousins treatment, basically.
Yeah.
They're gonna try to make him out to be bigger than what have you. He's okay, but I don't look at him as a difference maker. He's an okay quarterback.
He and Tannehill are in that same category. Just okay.
I would trust Heineke over Tannehill any day.
Uh-huh.
I would trust Heineke, because it's weird because how they always talk about that, the quote unquote game manager. He is not let's put it this way. I think Tannehill is more of a game manager because when I think of Tannehill, when I think of Stafford, Vanilla Ice down in Dixie, I always am reminded of something Charles Woodson used to say. Oh, he's going to give you a couple. And I'm not talking about ribeye. And I'm not talking about ribeye steaks. I'm talking about he's going to give you a couple of chances to get some picks. And we've seen this. Routinely, we saw this with Tannehill in their playoff game this year. We've seen it with Stafford this season as well. But see, this goes back to the narratives and how they're depicted, because the whole thing now is, you see, he had to get out of Detroit to show what he can do. No, the hell he didn't. Put it this way. The reason why I think Cincinnati wins tomorrow is because there's going to come a point in the game where Matthew Stafford has to win it.
Yeah.
And we all know how this is going to end if it comes down to him or whatever. Damn Cooper Kupp, Miss Prissy, and all his weapons. He can't win it on his own. To me, the key matchup here is going to be the Cincinnati secondary and the Rams defensive line.
I agree.
Those are the two X factors. I still think if you put a gun in my head, I still think Joe Mixon could be the guy that wins or loses, because we've seen it over the years in the Super Bowl. All these explosive offenses or whatever, but it's still, As old and hackneyed as it sounds, it still goes back to that old clip from NFL Films with Lombardi. A seal here, a seal here, and run that MFR up the alley.
Mm-hmm.
It still comes back to that. Even if you put it this way, one of the reasons why The Greatest Show on Turf doesn't have multiple Super Bowls is because, to their credit, the Patriots made Marshall Faulk a non-factor
in yep. that second Super Bowl that they went under, and that's why they lost. That's why they don't have the multiple mm-hmm. Super Bowls. The Saints don't beat the Colts without Reggie Bush and others.
Right.
It still comes down to the running game. It still comes,
yep.
and I'm not saying you have to run for 100 yards or what have you, but it's funny. As much as the NFL still tries to basically de-emphasize the running game, it always comes back to that.
Yeah, it does. It does. They make it hard.
I heard rumors now that Gronkowski is going to LA next year. He's going to be playing with LA next year.
We'll believe it when we see it. We'll believe it when we see it. And to be, and even if
oh,
he goes
boy,
there,
oh boy, here we go. Here we go
with
this.
But, no, but even if he goes there, you know, again, remember, this is, you know, he's got some tread on his tires now.
Yeah,
no, he's an old man now.
Yeah, this is not vintage Gronkowski, so to speak. But see, that's the thing with, you know, look. The Rams basically are going for it this year. This was them saying, you know, when they went and got Stafford, and then when they went and got, you know, Miss Chrissy and the other folks to add to it, you know, when they pulled why can't I think of my man's name? The guy
Von Miller.
No, the defensive back that they got off his. No, the kid this year. The kid this year. I don't know. Prindle, I'm forgive me for the name. But mm-hmm. The kid that used to be with the Chargers who they basically pulled out of retirement.
Yeah. Okay. Mhm.
They basically pulled that. They were going, you know, all these subsequent moves were for tomorrow. They're going for it because most of the moves it hasn't been you know, it hasn't messed with their cap or anything to that effect. So they're going for it. They're going for it for this year. So they have the most to lose here, I feel, because the Bengals are playing with triple, quadruple house money. They are the Deborah Cox of the NFL. How the hell did you get here?
Yep.
So even if they get whooped tomorrow, it's going to be like, all right, you know, they got, you know, there's a future, you know, there's a future. For the first time, look, the Bengals fans are like those Cowboy fans that come out of the sewer every year when they start off 3-0. You know, they're seeing sunlight for the first time in a long time. So they're literally, and put it this way, the only people who are going to make out better tomorrow than DraftKings and FanDuel are the Bengals. Because if they win it, then it's all gravy. If they lose it, oh well, they got a shot to, you know, they got a future.
Future is the key word.
One guy in Arizona put $1 million out of the game.
Yeah, well, is that the guy to put the $500 down on them winning the division?
Yep.
Yeah. So look, he's already going to be able to feed. He's already feeding his kids for eternity. You know. Unless he put everything on the game tomorrow, then you know.
Go
rent out a movie called The Gambler. Not that Marky Mark mess. James Caan one. And that'll answer all you need to know.
Yep. And it's really a metaphor for what the NFL is going to be like, because they made more money up for gambling this year than any other year, and it's only going to be more and more each year to come, G. By the time it comes to where you are in Las Vegas 2 years from now.
In Vegas, I think the Vegas world is going to be in trouble because
Well, they got to get there first.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, well, they'll get
they
got to
get there first. Well, I'm just saying, to see karma does have will catch up to them at some point. Like I said, I hope we live long enough to see it. You know, because they need to be punished. They literally and figuratively need to be punished for their sins.
Mm-hmm.
This glory thing.
We sort of know how they're going to react. They always, it's about crush, kill, and destroy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He probably does not get another job. In at least professional, put it this way. I'll ask the same question I asked Wednesday night. Who has a better chance of returning to the NFL, John Gruden or Brian Flores?
That's an excellent question.
John Gruden, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And to me that speaks volumes as to where that tells you everything. Literally, it's like Buzzy. That's all I need to know.
Mm-hmm. Gary, we got to remember, there's one thing that's been taken out of this whole Super Bowl drive, and that is the anticipation that the game is going to be potentially great. Everything that goes on during Super Bowl week has been muted because of the Brian Flores thing. Tuesday would be media day. And there would be a buzz. Nothing. Wednesday, the commissioner goes out of his way to change his state of the NFL address from Friday to Wednesday just to say that, we have a little union problem, but and some mealy-mouth response to it. Now, we come up the night before the big game, and we're hoping against hope that Cliff Branch and his family will finally get the recognition they deserve, and he'll make it to the Hall of Fame, and Mr. Steve Kills will be given his proper place. So, see, we don't even see that, and we can't even enjoy that, because the vote for the Coach of the Year was bullshit. Now, that's not to take nothing from Mike Vrabel. He earned it. But the 50 asshole who had a vote, they sandbagged Flores. You can't tell me if any coach, forget the archetype, color, ethnicity, whatever. You start out 1-7. You get back to 500. And you just missed the playoffs.
Well, it's the same thing with Barry Bonds. We all know Barry Bonds to be the Hall of Fame. So you had three guys out here.
It's more than just three, Gary. Let's be honest. It's more than just three.
Oh, 303 Bay Area people.
Well, that's what I'm to say. You have to look again. Whole picture. Because for them, for their three to "quote unquote" mean something, you have to have some other folks as well.
That's right.
I'm not gonna hold them.
So these three guys have been on radio almost every day. I was just thinking, these three guys, if I ever see them, I'm gonna run over my wheelchair.
I'd run them over too.
But don't absolve, just because they're in the Bay Area and you have to, don't absolve the other ones around the country that didn't vote for him.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying, but these three guys have the influence of other Bay Area writers.
No more than the other guys. I can't agree with that, Gary. No. It takes a group, look. How many Bay Area guys, when you're looking at something big like that, you can't just hold accountable as a bunch of they're a bunch of guys. Look at the Flores vote.
Yeah.
That's national. Remember, the same people that didn't, you got to remember, the same people that did not vote for Brian Flores deemed it so that Rodgers was named MVP.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got to look at, again, I understand what you're saying, but big picture.
Where does this go now?
Well, no, I mean, look, it's, like I said, I'm going back to, we got pretty much, we've got an entire offseason to decide whether we want to go back into boycott mode or not. I will do stuff regarding the HBCU players going into the NFL because I feel that that is important. But and again, that's a slippery slope because it's still my thing is you want the NFL needs to be punished for
this. Yes.
And that's the tough thing here because look, my beef over the past few years. Look, I'm still not crazy about the brand of play in the NFL as it is.
No.
That's been my problem. At times, the NFL, to me, the NFL is unwatchable. At the risk of sounding like the old man from the mountains, the NFL, in a lot of ways, is unwatchable to me. The fact that, I get the whole, you want to make it a passing game, but the fact that there is basically a league mandate to eliminate the running back, and I hate I think there's a racial component to that as well.
Yeah.
When's the last time? Think about it. When's the last time the draft generated a first round bona fide moneymaker? Somebody who gets the big contract, the big responsibility, and everything else. If you think about it, the last one was Henry. Henry was a first round pick. It took him a couple of years, but once he got going, he was hard to stop. But nobody's going to pay like that for a running back anymore.
Right.
Because of what Tony said, the position has been downgraded.
Right.
If you're following the modern NFL, you want a strong arm quarterback, and you want two or three wide receivers that can catch the ball. If the fact that Cooper Kupp or Cup of Soup, whatever the fuck his name is, that tells you everything you need to know.
But I like McCaffrey has Denver. He's a good player,
and plus, he hasn't been on the field long enough to.
That's right.
To make an impact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. We gotta remember
where he's playing too.
Who else runs the ball besides Tennessee? Nobody really does. Cleveland had the tendency to run it, but Baker Mayfield was too fucking ego bitten to be consistent and allow his ground game to work for him. Other than Cleveland and Tennessee, and maybe the Eagles. There aren't that many teams that can say, let's put some hats on hats and run these some bitches into the ground.
Right,
so,
right.
To me, I find it interesting that none of your cold weather teams, I guess Philly probably is the closest, Philly and Cleveland, I guess would be the closest. To me, if you're still throwing the ball 25, 30 times a game,
after Thanksgiving. Something's wrong with you. Unless you've got no running back.
Yeah.
Well, look at the New York football Giants. That's what you're at.
And as much as I like Saquon, he hasn't been on the field long enough to dominate.
Yeah.
If you get, you know, I, this was his way. The best thing that could happen to them is to get 16 games out of him because it takes pressure off of that phony under center.
Yeah.
And that low-life quarterback, you know, guys. I can do a better job at quarterback than Jones. Okay?
Yeah. He definitely makes them long for the days of Pizarczyk. Jerry Goldstein.
I'm going to turn my giant card in. Because I'm reading the history of the
Gary, you should have traded that for a half-eaten bag of cream of wheat a long time ago.
Yeah. No, hey, I read the history of the Giants a couple days ago. I don't know what I'm doing.
Gary, you also got to remember, what the package is being sold is what's more important now. When they have this game tomorrow, and we hear them talk ad infinitum about how potentially great this asshole Stafford is, I'm going to be gagging because they're going to have to stir up a lot of bullshit in under service to people and make it edible.
I already have three shovels in my truck ready to watch the game tomorrow.
Exactly.
They're trying to make Matthew Stafford and then the next coming of Joe Namath. I like, get out of here. Matthew Stafford, I would not say it. They keep bringing this guy up
Tony, Gary.
The water.
I bet you. If Calvin Johnson were to be interviewed right now, he'd say, that motherfucker almost got me killed. Because all Stafford did was throw the ball up and pray that the superior cat would bring the ball down. And for all that intent and purpose, he still, even now, as he heads to the Super Bowl, he's still lost six more games than he's won. He ain't that good. Forget the hype. He just simply ain't that good.
No, ain't good at all.
Well. The price of mediocrity is way too high. So, you know, but again, this is unfortunately, this is where we're at in the NFL.
By the way, did Cliff Branch make it?
Oh yeah, yeah, Cliff Branch, yeah. Sam Mills, Cliff Branch, Tony Baselli, Leroy Butler, Dick Vermeil, Art McNally, and who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting someone. But that's the gist of the. And again, you know, look, we're happy for Branch. To a certain extent, Vermeil as well. Brian Young from the Niners, very underrated linebacker from back in the day. But yeah, he's in as well. But again, that's all well and good for Mr. Branch because Branch was one of my five guys that need to be in. The number one guy for me still is Jim Marshall.
I agree. And
Jim Marshall
add to that list, LT Greenwood and Otis Taylor. They would be among my missing persons.
I think there was one other
I'd have to sit and think. But if I had one vote, Jim Marshall would be the guy. He had this. He had the playing streak long before Favre.
He took 19 freaking seasons.
Yeah, as a defensive lineman. And if anybody wants to throw in the wrong way one, I will slap the taste out of you and your mama's mouth.
For real.
Why did it always be there?
Because it involved a black player. You got to remember, this is ongoing white supremacy. And even in the games people play, we are affected by it. You know, it's not enough that a black player plays well. You know that. They have to dominate. And then when they dominate, everybody tries to make it sound like they played the game of their life. I will make this argument till I die. Now, they can say what they want about Doug Williams and that he had a great game that day. But the real truth was Doug had the perfect matchup. His offensive line kept him clean, and everybody on Washington's offense was a superior matchup to everybody on Denver's defense. It was tailor-made for them. And I'm not going to lie, I actually bet the game because I felt the matchups were going to kill it. Team sports are about matchup no matter what anyone says.
Especially in the Super Bowl.
And when those hogs... When those hogs got to work, they did damage with the running game and the passing game.
Well, see, that's the thing that people forget. You know, Jimmy Smith ran for almost, for over 200 yards, too. In all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, but guys, I think guys forget about the defense because once the Washington defense really turned up, they were able to not only shut them down, but get the ball back to the offense, and the offense got the rolling.
Well, Zach, you take away the first score with Nateel, and they basically beat them 42-3.
That's right.
They beat them 42-3. Yeah, because see, remember, there's another one of these Denver teams that didn't run the ball.
Yeah. No, there's no question about it. What Washington made clear that they understood what their advantages were. Doug, when he didn't have to throw the ball anymore, he made sure that they took advantage of what they had and ran their offense. I mean, Denver and Elway had to know, that there was no way they were going to catch up. And they couldn't even make it easy on themselves because Washington put the lid on them on defense. They went from favorite to no shot. Think about that. If we saw it in a point swing, Denver was like 8 or 9 up to 6 or 7 down. And they should have been up in the first place because Washington was better. They just didn't want to admit that because the quarterback was black.
And the funny thing is, Barry Wilburn, who was the guy that got beat on that Nateel touchdown, came back and got an interception on the very same play late in the game. So that that game was about adjustments and again, giving Gibbs credit because he remember Gibbs was part of that Tampa squad when Doug
That's
first
right.
got there. So he knew.
Yep.
So he knew what he had. So he just. I'm willing to bet you that game plan was probably similar to what Doug was part of Doug's playbook those first 2 years in Tampa when he was the quarterback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And only difference here is that he didn't have the Gary Clarks and the Ricky Sanderses. Then it was basically Jimmy Giles and the volcano.
Hey, T, but this is a question I want to ask you, T. We knew that Doug Williams was sold a bill of goods and that piece of trash that was in front of him that was no help at all, straight little stray lick, The thing that got me, in your opinion, how much racism played on that team? Because I remember when Danny White talked about Rick Walker getting in a fight on the Cowboys, and the Halls didn't even really come to his defense. But Rick White always talked about how he admired Danny White because when they had some scuffles, Danny White would be in there with the offensive lineman, you know, saying, hey, you know, we all here together. And it seemed like it was some kind of, you know, racism. Just my opinion, they always had the curve. There was a lot of, should we say, stuff going on that team. What you think, T?
Well, got to remember, if you remember, the year before, they got to the NFC Championship game with Schrader. You know, they got they wanted to be by that giant juggernaut that year. So Gibbs, to his credit, or discredit, I guess, made sure that he gave Schrader enough room to play himself out of a job. Because remember, the last two games of the season, even when Doug had come in, I think they beat either Philly or somebody like that with Doug coming in at the half.
He beat San Francisco.
And then the next week, Gibbs said, you know, he did the old, well, I can't, you know, the quarterback's not supposed to lose his job because of injury. So he let Schrader get back in. But see, I think it was the last regular season game. They were playing at Minnesota, and they still needed the win. And Doug, if I remember correctly, like either two or three TD passes late, it was a win on the road that basically put them in. And then it came down, and see, he didn't wait until the next day. He said, Doug will start the playoffs.
Yep.
Doug will start the playoffs. And literally
he was trying to hold on hope that Schrader could start.
Well, he
did. And Schrader won't work for shit.
Again, to his credit, he was like, look, I'm giving you more than enough rope to hang yourself. And it just came a thing down where, look, we got a chance to win. And you can see that the way that they played under Doug and the way that they played under Schrader. Because, see, Schrader was not the most liked player on that roster, quite frankly.
That's an understatement. He was an arrogant piece of shit.
The archetype
that he had in the replacements was very close to what Schrader was portrayed as. He was just like that.
And see, Doug basically was sort of, for lack of a better word, he became sort of like a Jim Plunkett in the sense of, he had been beaten up for a few years. He sort of was out of the league and then came back. But Doug still had a lot, Doug still had the arm. He wasn't going to be Michael Vick, but you're not asking him to be Michael Vick. You're asking him to be Doug. And he still had to see, even the play where he got knocked out in the bowl. Just get me back up.
Hey, Mike, every grandma, every black mama in the world was putting their hands on Bibles and saying, get up.
You know what? Doug,
I was screaming. Me and my dad was screaming, get up, Doug, please, get up.
We
had the prayer clothes working, but we went into the closet and had in the room, but everybody had the prayer clothes working.
I was in San Diego, and I saw Doug as we were crossing the street over to get some food. And we said hi, and he saw we were part of the media and all that stuff. And I said, I know you've heard this many times, bro, but I was praying my ass off that you get up. We were all screaming, get up! At the same time, he said, man, you don't know how many times I've heard that, and it's so true.
He know the creator put hands on him that day, boy. He know it.
I was looking up the interview, Doug, as well, at my old high school, and he related a story where he was in an airport.
Mm-hmm.
He was, catching some sort of flight. And he said this 800-year-old woman
Maybe she was $7.99. I don't know if that's But she basically said, aren't you the guy that won that Super Bowl? She said, yes. Baby, I was praying for you when you I mean, put it this way. Put it this way. I'm not trying. I'm not going to turn into TV Jakes or Creflo Half Dollar here. But
Creflo Crooked Dollar.
Mm-hmm. But all I'm saying is, if you don't think prayer works, I will give you Exhibit A that Sunday in San Diego. And there was a collective. There was a collective.
Everybody knows
where they were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they never watched a football game before. That was like, get up. That's
wait,
right.
Wait. I was on the phone with my dad. I'll never forget this. He went down, right?
Oh, yeah.
We both said, get up!
Mike, Lenny Williams and Keith Sweat couldn't do as much begging.
You're talking about the king of the beggars. Hey, T, you better put Peebo Bryson in there too, boy, and Teddy Pendergrass.
Put them all in the begging hall of fame, and it still wasn't enough.
Hey, but guys, real quick, I know we're talking about that, but I tell you, when I saw NFL honors and saw the people who made their exalt degree of the highest for ancestors, I got to admit, when I saw Irv Cross, man, I got choked. I was like, damn, man, Curly Cup. When I saw the amount of people who have made their exalt degree of ancestor, it kind of threw me a little bit, you know.
Because these are people who really paved the way. Yeah, well, see, and see, that's all the more reason why, you know, we wanted to see Curly, you know, Curly had the weight, Cliff had the weight, so many other guys have had the weight, but there's still so many more. I mean, Mike talks about Otis. I talk about Jim Marshall. You know, there's so many, you know, LC and all. I mean,
yeah,
there's still a generation of football players that you say to yourself, they aren't in.
Yep. And guys, I got to say this, man. When we interviewed Richard Seymour, that's the last guy. But I got to tell you guys, you know, a lot of us have been blessed to see all the Super Bowls. And when I think about the ancestors, Johnny Sample and Willie Wood, people we have met personally and know personally, and when you bring up those names, people look at you like, who is that? And I'm like, well, why don't you know your history and turn on Super Bowl 1, 2, and 3, especially Super Bowl that changed the whole dynamic of what we know now as the NFL.
Think about those stories, get lost. Think about Johnny Sample. Johnny Sample
should be in the Hall of Fame.
But see, think about it.
That's another one.
Little Johnny Sample from Maryland Eastern Shore played in two of the most important games in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He was a backup for the Colts when they beat the Giants in the 58 championship. And then literally 10 minutes later, he is starting for the Jets against his old Colts in Super Bowl III.
And beat that ass, too.
Yes! And won both games, remember. One game was part of the winning side with the Colts. And then, that's the ultimate Bum Phillips thing. He can take his in and beat yours and take yours and beat
his yours and beat his in, yeah. But you know what? Something I said Wednesday, sticking in my craw. Okay, in Super Bowl III, Jimmy Orr is waving downfield like I'm wide the fuck open throwing the ball. And Errol Marr airmailed that bitch the wrong way. Martin all of a sudden making like Steve Wonder. Like, you don't see him. He throws the ball 20 yards upfield, and Randy Beverly or Jim Hudson, where it was, intercepts
the pass. That was Randy Beverly. That was Beverly's interception.
I'm Jimmy Orr. I'm coming back to the sidelines. What the fuck were you looking at? Did you see how fucking I was?
And this was
if
one
that
of the,
don't
and
say
again,
the damn game was rigged, I don't know what would.
Well, yeah,
that show you the game was rigged.
That was one of their signature plays because they had hit on that. You know, if you watch the postseason, yeah, they hit on that play at least 2-3 more times during the regular season, and all of a sudden,
it's like the
scene in New Jack City. Don't nobody know nothing. Dada man, teacher.
I never liked you, pretty motherfucker.
And you know what? And Mike, Keisha would have caught it if he's known it.
Yeah. Oh,
she just like a bomb, baby, and she didn't caught that motherfucker.
And then put a gun and blew your brains out.
God, Vinny, I can't believe it. Vinny by Super Bowl.
How many have seen them all? I've seen them all for 100, Alex. Daily Double, ding.
I have not seen them all, but the first Super Bowl that I remember watching as a kid was the Jets one. That's the one I remember.
I've only missed three.
Yeah, I've seen them all.
You know.
But I can tell you something, guys. The very first one when Green Bay played against, I think, Kansas City, I remember the Grambling marching band at halftime.
Yeah.
That was
They're actually celebrating them tomorrow at some point. I don't know if they're going to actually physically show it, but they're going to be – the Grambling band is supposed to be commemorated tomorrow.
You know
for their
since you brought it up.
Well, Black History Month, yeah.
The only Super Bowl that I did not get to see was probably one of the more exciting ones. That's when Norwood went wide right. I didn't see the whole game. I was in Canada. I was talking to the girls, and we never got to finish the game.
Mm-hmm.
I left before the game was over. And then we found out about the wide right thing. But I never saw that.
Yeah.
I was in the air going from Philadelphia to San Francisco where they were playing the
Dallas
Cowboys were playing the Denver Broncos. I didn't see any of that game.
Trust me, gang. You didn't miss much.
All you missed was Bush Johnson going off and Tom Landry chewing everybody's ass out.
I know, a bunch of them. I was working and watching them at work. So
the one that tripped me out was when the Baltimore Ravens played the Giants.
I was thankful for that one. I saw that.
Yeah. Hey, but guys, the one that tripped me out when the Baltimore Ravens played New York Giants and they introduced Ray Lewis. That bitch looked crazy. He was glowing and humping. I said, oh, my God, this nigga crazy. Then he did a dance and then grabbed his nuts. I said, oh, Lord. That's the first time I seen a grown man grab his nuts on national TV.
as I said several times, Ray Lewis is a Hall of Fame bad dancer.
I was in Icky Woods
got the worst dance.
Look, I was in Hold on, guys. I was there at that game. Ray Charles is playing America the Beautiful. All right, so the plane was flying, blah, 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 and the stump bomb was gone. After everything came off in the plane, the planes were flying by, the stump bomber is sitting in the background, literally just sitting there ominously, and then it just takes the fuck off. You don't hear.
Wait a minute. Mike. You said the bitch was sitting still.
It was literally sitting still. It was hovering.
God.
It took off and nobody heard nothing. You heard the other jets. But this, I mean, can you imagine being in Afghanistan or somewhere and you don't even see this motherfucker or hear this motherfucker come up on you?
Wait a minute, Mike. Hold on. I want to hear you again, Mike. You actually said in the stadium, y'all didn't even realize the self-bomber had came up on you.
No, I'm not joking. It was sitting in the background after those planes left and everybody's clapping. It's just sitting there. And then after everybody leaves, it just eased the fuck on out. I was like, oh, my God. It was like.
Did anybody know the self-bomber was there?
They had had a few because, if I remember correctly, that Giant Bill Super Bowl was the first one where you had the self-bomber, if I could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Yeah, I remember seeing it on TV. I remember that. But, damn, you can even hear that bitch come through.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's scary.
You see it right here all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, but the million-dollar question, guys, the Super Bowl halftime. And now it's amazing. We've been hearing rap music, and forever the brothers been blasting music. Now Black History Month, they decide to have one of the so-called greatest halftime shows ever. Now, I don't know how they're building this thing up, but Michael Jackson and some other Super Bowl halftimes, all I can say is thank God they didn't blow it like they did in Detroit when they put nobody on Motown on. All they did had Aretha Franklin sing, I think, National Anthem or Star Spangled Banner.
Well, that was band playing over.
Please wait.
If Motown would have flourished, that would have been perfect. But no, they didn't do that.
No Motown. I could not believe it.
Yeah. Put it
well,
this way.
I'm hoping
put it this way. If we're lucky, maybe somebody like Kendrick Lamar makes a statement tomorrow.
Yeah.
You think he got the balls to do?
I don't think anything can happen tomorrow because the money is too big now.
Well,
you think he got the balls to do it, T? You think he got the balls to do it?
No.
I think he's got the temperament to do it. I think he's got the temperament to do it.
Yeah.
What kind of statement you think he'll make?
I don't know. I just put it this way. I wouldn't expect it from Dr. Dre.
Oh, hell no.
I wouldn't expect it from Mary. But
no, Mary got too many problems.
Mm-hmm. But see, look, Kendrick Lamar has made statements over the years. So if there's anybody that fits the bill, it would be him.
Yeah. You know what, Tony?
Well, what's the last statement he done made? What's the last one he made?
Well, he made something about when all the police stuff was going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendrick Lamar has a little KRS-One in him. I like the fact that he is a thought-provoking kind of cat. And I think if AJ would make a statement, he would.
We can only hope.
Yeah, for real.
Well,
I give anybody credit to make a statement. Yep, give anybody credit.
What are you saying, guy?
Okay, I want one prediction, each one prediction word before we get out of here. Who's gonna win tomorrow?
Okay,
I'll go.
Take it, T.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Bengals. I'll go with Bengals 35-27.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Cincinnati 31-28. I think the fix is in, and I'm not saying that being funny.
Yeah. Michael.
31-10 Cincinnati. Only because.
Whoa, you talking about an ass whooping, a blowout? How much money you got on that game, Mike? How much money you got on that game?
I'm going 35-31 Bengals.
Hey, I'm saying the first score is going to be an interception touchdown.
That's what I'm saying. Stafford's going to throw at least two interceptions. And Cooper Soup or Cooper Cup, whatever the fuck his name is, he's not going to show up.
I want to see is my man that came from Cleveland. You know, how's he going to do? I think he might be the missing link.
OBJ.
That's his name. OBJ.
Odell Beckham Jr. I'm sorry.
Well, tomorrow for Super Bowl.
Hey, his dad gonna let you know about it. Don't watch out for his dad.
Super Bowl night. I know some folks will be watching the game. We're going to play a little more funk, but we're also going to take care of Valentine's Day.
Uh-oh.
Because all the funk bands have to have that one ballot. If nothing else, so the cats can rest while they prepare for the next song. So we're going to take some of the funk bands and put out their best stuff, some of their best ballots. We can expect Heat Wave and others to make their point in doing their love thing. And then we get back to the funk at hand. While Cincinnati is whipping Los Angeles is at.
Hey, Mike, I got a question. What's going to happen first? Brother going to get in trouble for getting Valentine's Day, or has going to lose on a bet?
If he's going, if he loses on Sunday, he ain't showing up on Monday.
Baby, we're a little short on Valentine this week.
Mike, I can hear him now. Blame that motherfucking Stafford.
They're going to be short on roses and long on kisses.
Going to be in the doghouse.
That shit going to be funny.
Yes,
that shit going to be funny.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. We're going to take a break. Come back. Hang on. Do one song. Hang in there.
All right, guys.
NCAA, University of Virginia beat Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Texas beat number 8 Kansas 79-76 on Monday night. Top 5, Auburn, Georgia, Gonzaga, Purdue, University of Arizona, and Kentucky. On the women's side, it's Oklahoma, Stanford, Louisville, Michigan, and North Carolina State. We go on. MEAC, the Norfolk State ladies, will take on Coppin State this week. Coppin State is in second place. And we do the MEAC, the Norfolk State men. Also are winning. And we come down to conference time. I can't get this out. And so are you ready to do well? If I get my papers together here. Oh boy. Here we go. Spartan men also travel to Coppin State tomorrow. NBC Lady Redbirds, they go to Iowa, Chicago. Valparaiso, they go to UNI, and Carbondale. And they go on Missouri State. There you have the MVC and the men. Loyola Rambers play Northern Iowa tomorrow. Swing, San Jose Tigers host Florida A&M. Bethune-Cookman. And the Southern Lady Jaguars travel to Prairie View and Texas Southern. On the men's side, the center, Prairie View A&M. Pac-12, the Cardinals are in first place. They play Colorado tomorrow. Wildcats travel to Washington, and it's a big LA game, the Bruins against the Trojans today. Okay. I'm going to take a break and get some bed here. I'll have a door down, man. NASCAR, the first race was last week.
Bush Light Classic at LA Coliseum. Joey Logano beat Kyle Busch this week. They are all reported to say Daytona Triple Header at Daytona Motor Speedway. In 2 weeks, the Barstow Grand Prix, St. Petersburg, Florida. And off the Texas SBEL 3-5. And Formula 1, March 18th to 20th, in Bahrain. This is the season starts. Hope you have a good day and good night.